All right, let's take our Bibles now to Acts chapter 15, please. All right, we put the sermon title slide up. All right, stay pure, abstain. Stay pure, abstain. Now, what is the context of that admonishment? What is the context of that admonishment? We find that in Acts chapter number 15. We were there last week, and we're going to continue to look in particular at one verse, but let me remind you of what the context is. Why don't we start reading around verse 5 to give us a little bit of context as we work our way down to 21. But there arose up a certain sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was required or needful or necessary to circumcise them. Now, the them are Gentile converts to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So the apostles come together in verse number 6 to consider this matter. Verse 7. There had been much disputing. Peter stands up and says, "Men and brethren, you know how a good while ago God made a choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel." And then Peter testifies about the work that God did amongst the converts that he had the privilege of preaching the gospel to. Verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience now to Barnabas and Paul, who also declared what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles. Verse 13. James now stands up. James says, "Men and brethren, listen unto me, hearken unto me. Simeon," or Peter, "hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles and take them out of a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets," referring back to Amos, I told you last week, "that God was going to do a work amongst Israel through King David." And they were witnessing this. So now what about circumcision? What about keeping the law? Is that necessary? So here's James's pronouncement or sentence. "We trouble them not," I'm in verse 19, "which among the Gentiles are turned to God. Instead, let's write unto them, but that we write unto them that they abstain from four things: pollutions of idols, fornication, anything strangled, and from blood. Why? For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him," or read him, that he's being read. Moses' law is being read every Sabbath day in synagogues all over that region. Let's pray. Help us to connect this morning, Lord. Help us to connect with the message today. Make this relevant and applicable and appropriate, Spirit-filled, ministering to all these that you've gathered amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen. So verse 20 is where I want to put a lot of our focus today. Verse 20. Verse 20 has four admonishments or four statements. Avoid or abstain any meat that's rendered to an idol. And then fornication, and then anything that's strangled, and anything that's bloody. Now, three out of the four deal with food. So we asked ourselves last week, are these applicable to us today? Are the Seventh-day Adventists right? Are we supposed to have rigid rules when it comes to what we eat? What are we to think of all that? And we turned last week, and we'll do it again this week, to Mark chapter number 7 for the answer to that question. So please find Mark 7. Find Mark 7 in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, buy one. Your cell phone is not a substitution for a Bible. Okay, if you need $20, come see me, and I'll give it to you at a reasonable rate of interest. All right, verse 14. Usury, right, that's it, whoever said that, right. All right. What did Jesus say to us about this issue of meat offered to an idol and strangled and bloody meat. Do I have to have it well done and all that? Listen unto me, he says in verse number 14. Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man entering into him that can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Well, at this point, the disciples are very confused, and we should not be surprised that they're confused. They've been living under a Mosaic law that prohibits the consumption of all kinds of foods, and now their Messiah, their Lord and Savior, is not their Savior yet. Maybe some of them see it that way, not all of them. They're struggling with that aspect. Clearly, their master has told them, what you eat is not what defiles you, but instead it what comes out of your mouth. So they come together and they ask him to clarify. Verse 18. And he said unto them, are you without understanding also? That's so kind of him. Okay. Are you stupid? Okay. Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it goes not to his heart, but to his belly, to his stomach, to his small intestines, out the colon, it's gone, and goeth out into the draught, to the septic, to the sewer, to the hill, to the outhouse, it's gone. Thus declaring all meats clean, or purging all meats, cleansing all meats. And he said, that which comes out of the man, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulterous relationships, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Now those are the things, all those evil things, all these evil things, they come from within, and that's why we need a Savior. See it there? That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need the gospel. That's why Christ had to die for our sins, because that stuff comes from within. That is the issue. That's the issue. So we did that, and we looked. Now, I want to show you in the blue how much relates to sexual sin. Immorality, adultery, coveting, deceit, sensuality, even murder. David and Bathsheba, even murder. That's right. And here is the reality. I see this all the time. This is pastoring in Fayetteville. That's right. This is our problem. This is us. This is us. Now, why make a big deal of this? Why are we even talking about it? Are we trying to throw down a bunch of rules on the church? Let me make your life hard. Let me make your life difficult. Verse 21 provides the answer for us. Why should I care about a holy life? Why should I care about personal purity? Why not have that adulterous relationship? Why not engage in that nastiness with everyone else? Why not? The answer is, what does it do to your gospel testimony? What does it do to your gospel testimony? What happens to your credibility as a Christian on a deployment when you cave to pornography like everybody else? What does it do to your testimony as a Special Forces 18 series guy on an A-team when you have an extramarital affair every time you deploy to South America? What does it do to your Christian testimony? Let's be real upfront this morning. Nobody says, I notice you love porn like I do and you've got a honey. Could I talk to you about eternal things? You personally lose or forfeit or give up all your opportunities to speak godly things when you cave like the world on these issues. So we're not this morning trying to be that old school, fundamental, backwoods, legalistic, obnoxious church. No, what we're trying to do is live a holy life so we still have some credibility. So that you're on that squad, in that platoon, at that job, in that office, on that team. And when they want to know about what does God think of something, when they're wondering about what is God's opinion, they know you're that guy that doesn't partake. You're that girl that won't give it up. Let me come talk to you. You get to speak to this. So we want to today to focus on this one right here. Because let's face it. Nobody says, I noticed you had a barbecue sandwich. Do you really believe in God? That's not an issue today, John. That's not an issue. We don't lose an ounce of our credibility when we have some seafood. Right. Nobody says anything about crab legs and must not be a Christian.
That's right.
But when you're on your third affair, so that's why we're focusing here. The Greek word is porneia. It's porn. It's everything that relates to sexual immorality. And in my opinion, this is our number one problem in the church in America. Number one. This is it. We have not had church discipline on a single murder case in 10 years. Have not had a church member murder anyone. We have not had serious larceny and felony problems in the last 10 years. That is not the issue. Now, let me be clear. Please listen right now. Let me slow down and speak to you. If you have had sin in your past, I am not trying to resurrect it. All right? If you've confessed it, and you're a born-again believer, listen, my brother and sister in Christ, it is under the blood. Amen. You do not have to bring yourself back under condemnation this morning. It is forgiven. The Lord has cleansed you from all unrighteousness. Let it go. And can I say to wives, please do not see the necessity of being the Holy Spirit this morning. Just let the Holy Spirit do the Holy Spirit's job today. If we get into some topics and you're wondering, is that my husband? Please do not make it miserable for your husband to have come to church today by grilling him after the worship service. Let the Holy Spirit do that. Believe in the sovereignty of God, that the Spirit will do what the Spirit does really well, and you don't need to be number two today. Okay? Just let the Spirit go. Let the Spirit do what the Spirit does. Because we're going to delve into some tough stuff today. What do we mean by sexual immorality in the church? Well, let's start with soft porn. Soft porn is the Soma magazine that's delivered to your mailbox. It's the Sports Illustrated. It's the Victoria's Secret. It's the little pictures on the side on the Weather Channel and on Google and everywhere you go, David. You're just surrounded by it. Always, always, always click here for more breasts. Click here for more cleavage. Always just suckering you to get to another website. Please understand, adults, parents, teenagers, that those clicks are gateway drugs. At some point, that click won't be enough and you need more clicks. And that website will link you to another website. It will link you to another website. And do you not understand that there is literally an infinite amount of porn available to you? Does anyone have a cell phone? Could I get a cell phone? Greg, do you have a cell phone? No, you got one old cell. Oh, you got a smartphone? I'm going to talk about these in a minute. Okay, right. Days ago, when Dennis and I were boys, this was not available. You had to go to a store and get a Playboy magazine.
That's right.
Please understand that when you give this to your teenage boy and you say, here, enjoy it, you are giving them access to an endless amount of Playboy magazines and Penthouse books. All right here. Live, living color. Sound, everything that Playboy magazine could not create is right here, accessible on this device, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's the world we're living in. It's a serious world when we're trying to combat that. Do you have any idea the amount of sexting that's happening in public and Christian schools everywhere? And here's the problem. Please hear me well. Let your pastor give you an admonishment today. Please just receive it well. More parents, they just have their head in the sand. I don't know how else to say it. They're like the ostrich, just sticking it in there and knowing that, well, if my head, I don't see it, there's no trouble. Please understand, your teenager is not the exception. You are fully convinced it's that one. It's them. It's the other. All of us that work in high schools, all of us that are involved in this, can we just tell you, it's everyone. It's all the time. It's a constant struggle. Your teenager is bombarded by this stuff. Pornography, accessible all the time, everywhere. Premarital sexual encounters, adulterous relationships, and then ultimately homosexuality, all giant problems in the church in America. Pornography has experienced a pretty serious evolution in the past 2 decades. From limited content that wanted to seek out, it has become easily accessible, free, more varied, far more dangerous. In the past, pornography has had to be stealthily purchased in magazines, video format, and then carefully hid or disposed. Today, pornographic material is only a click away in a variety of different formats, accessible to basically everyone, and widely socially acceptable. The evolution can be particularly disheartening, confusing if you are parents of young children, teens. The landscape of sexuality and pornography has almost completely changed. Do you realize just how easily your kids can access pornographic content? That iPad is just a door. Welcome to the world. Most contemporary studies show that children, especially boys, had their first encounter with pornography before the age of 12. Man, when they turn 17, we're going to have that conversation. Too late. Way too late. Way too late. You don't know my boy. No, I'm sorry. You don't know your son. I do. You have no idea the degree to which they can install and uninstall apps. They are wicked smart. They will run circles around you. They have multiple accounts. They have the account you see, and they have another account. Sexting has become a rite of passage for teenagers. We're the dinosaurs. When I was dating in high school, listen to me, we had this thing, okay, it was wild, it was plastic, and it rang. Yeah. David, it was called a home phone, okay, and you picked it up, and you dialed numbers. And if mom did it just right, she could be in the bedroom and she could put her finger on the little button and she could hear your whole conversation. And as long as there was no noise in the background, she copied everything that you were saying. Greg, give me your phone again, please. Come on, just have it available for me, all service, okay? Yes, sir. Now what we say is, here is this wonderful device. You can take it into the bedroom. You can take it into the bathroom. You can take pictures of yourself and send them, and no one ever has to know about it. You can take clothes off and go in the bathroom in the shower. Because you always have your cell phone with you, right? And so we don't think there's anything wrong. And then you can send a picture of yourself out to the whole world. And every 13-year-old thinks, my boyfriend loves me. He would never do anything with those pictures. Until you break up with him. And then the entire soccer team has seen you. Do you not understand, teenagers, that once you press the send button, you can never get them back?
Amen. That's right.
Never. Never. Talk to your teenagers. Do they really need to have their phone in the bathroom? Ask yourself, but you don't understand, Pastor Sean, I trust mine. What you don't understand is the peer pressure that they are competing with. You don't understand the peer pressure. It is over the top. So I'm going to give you 8 points to purity in our 23 minutes together. 8 points to purity. You're going to get something out and you're going to jot these down because you won't remember them if you don't. Number one, recognize the implications of not being able to get victory. Recognize the implications for not getting victory over sexual immorality. Recognize the implications for not being able to get the victory, because those implications are huge. They're catastrophic implications. What are you talking about? Well, Pastor Sean, I'm born again and I'm saved, but I just can't get the victory over this. Well, let's see what the Word of God says about someone who claims to be born again but can't get the victory. One adulterous relationship after another adulterous relationship. Sexting from one girl to the next girl. I got caught. I was back in there. I can't get the victory. Let's see what the Word of God says. It says that don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the adulterers, nor the men who practice homosexuality, they're not inheriting the kingdom of God. But you don't understand. I did it in third grade at Christian camp. I'm all set. I'm set. No. No, you're not set. If you can't get victory over sexual immorality in your life, you should have no assurance of salvation. None. The Word of God does not give you any assurance. What I can't get over is the fact that we create a special category for sexual immorality. What do you mean by that? All right, I say to you, you know, I'm born again. I just kill people. I mean, that's just who I am. I mean, I'm on my seventh murder, and I just anytime someone gets just I kill them. You know, I mean, they cut me off at the road, so I capped them. I mean, I'm working on it and everything. I'm trying to get the victory over John, but I just, you know, I was at the cash register and they cut in line, so I pulled it out and I just kind of terminated their life. Well, we understand. I hope you get control of that. Yeah. Absurd, right? Absurd, utterly absurd. Amen. Absurd. Yet when it comes to sexual immorality, you can go through your entire life, adulterous relationship after adulterous relationship. I'm on my fourth wife and I've cheated on six of them, but I love Jesus. Stop. Stop. The Word of God gives no assurance to that. None. Revelation 21:18, the whoremongers, that's the murderers, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the idolaters, the liars. They're not going to heaven.
That's right.
Here's what I find amazing. Let me just try to illustrate this to you. You come over to my house, and in the corner of my house, right over there, is a shrine. There's my shrine. There's Buddha right there. Got my little Buddha, and Joey, I got my little Fanta bottles there. I got the straws in there, and you come to my house, and you find me. That's Pastor Sean. He loves Jesus. And I do it for 90 minutes. 90 minutes of full-blown idolatry. Buddha, take care of my son. Buddha, and you're, probably loves Jesus. No. But wait a minute. Give me a remote control and I can watch 90 minutes of porn and it's not a problem. Same Bible verse, murderers, sexual immorality, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. Every time you talk to me, it's a lie. Every time I drive a BMW, I'm a millionaire. We have a 20-foot yacht down on... golly, does Pastor Sean ever tell the truth? No, actually, I've never heard him tell the truth. It seems like we can reasonably say the man is characterized as a liar. But I'm sure he's saved. How? How is it that we as a church have, well, that off limits, and no, can't go around murdering people. No, murder's pretty serious. But when it comes to sexual immorality, we just give these giant buys. Just passes. Here you go. We understand. Yeah, it's a temptation. Boys will be boys. Men will be men. The Word of God does not give us the latitude to say such things. It doesn't. Moving on. Number two, recognize the church cannot ignore your sustained unrepentant sin. Now, I know the church does, but recognize that we cannot. We cannot. They might, but we're not going to. There's one case of church discipline in the New Testament. You know what it deals with? Sexual sin. One case, David, one case, and it deals with sexual sin. One, it is actually reported that there's sexual immorality among you, and it's the kind that is not even tolerated, even among the pagans, for a man has his father's wife. Paul says, you know, boys will be boys. No, he doesn't say that at all. He says, instead, let him who has done this be removed from among you. Removed from among you. He goes on to say, although absent from the body, present in spirit, if present, I have already pronounced. He uses the J word. Those arrogant, fundamentalist, legalistic Christians. They judging me. What right do they have to judge me? Are you kidding me? You're sleeping with your father's wife. Paul says, I don't even have to be present, absent, and I'm there. I've already rendered it. Y'all get together and assemble. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and my spirit being present with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. So that why? So that his spirit may be what? Does Paul think the guy's saved? No. No, he doesn't. He doesn't think that you can pronounce, I love you and until death do us part. And meanwhile, you're sexting with a girl at work. No. No. I think, and I could be wrong, but this is my thought. The single area that we as a church have lost credibility with the world is this area right here. And that's why we're battling with all that we're battling with. The Supreme Court caving on same-sex marriage. And mark my words, North Carolina, we're getting ready to cave on HB2. You just let a few more basketball events get canceled, and that'll just be enough. Because, you know, you got these round ball and that hoop. And to the hoop. Tell me I'm wrong. Cleanse out the old leaven, for Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. He has secured our victory over sin. He has accomplished what he's supposed to do. We're supposed to be different. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexual immoral people. Not at all meaning the sexual immoral of this world or greedy or swindlers or idolaters. Since then it would be needful for you to leave the planet. I wasn't talking to you when I said that about those at work and all those. The only way you're going to get away from them is if you leave the planet. You got to move to moon. He said, I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about those who bear the name of Christ. Those are the ones that I was talking about. Why is Paul saying such a thing? All right, we take church discipline very serious around here, so much so that we're going to give an hour to it in first class tonight to make sure that no one joins the church and says, oh, I had no idea that church practices church discipline. So someone is having an adulterous affair and is messing around on their church member wife, and so we say, you're done. That's fine. I don't know why the church said that, but we're still going hunting, right, Bob?
No.
We still got our weekend golf event, right?
No.
No. Church, if you ignore this admonishment, we might as well stop practicing church discipline.
Right.
We're still Facebook friends, right? No. Still golfing buddies? No. What must be done? Brother, you got to repent. You got to repent. I was there when you married Sally. I heard you make those wedding vows. The preacher gave you a clear admonishment that you were going to maintain your purity. Repent and get right with her, and then we can return to normal fellowship. But until then, I love you, but you and I can't hang out anymore. Why? Because I want to see you get saved. And if you don't experience what it's like to be outside the body of Christ, how are you going to turn in repentance? But when we're doing high fives with a guy that's having an adulterous relationship, what are we saying? We're saying your relationship is okay. That's what we're saying. We're sanctifying it, whether you like it or not. He says, don't even eat with such a one. Don't even eat with such a one. But now I'm writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler. Not even to eat with such a one. Number three, recognize that purity is God's will for your life. Purity is God's will for your life. Purity is God's will for your life. An extra honey down in South America when you go on these deployments is not God's will. Personal purity is God's will. God's will is that you abstain from fornication, refrain from sexual immorality, turn it off, cut it out, get rid of it. So number three was recognize purity is God's will for your life. And number four is when necessary, take extreme measures. Where are you getting this from? I think Jesus said something like, if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Now, I don't believe in the year 2016 that we should walk around with a bunch of people in the church that have their eyes plucked out, but I do believe that he was saying take extreme measures when necessary. You got to get control of this. Paul said it like this, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Put it to death. What would an extreme measure look like for a teenage boy? I'll tell you what an extreme measure would look like for a teenage boy. Leave your cell phone outside your bedroom. You don't understand, Pastor Sean. I use mine as an alarm clock. Newsflash! Walmart sells this little plastic thing. It's got numbers across it in red, and it's got a cord, and it plugs into the wall. You set the time, and it gives you this obnoxious, get out of bed. Give it to me again, Greg. Thank you. Oh, my goodness.
Break your phone.
I know. Break your phone, right. Okay. I'll probably be helping you out. Hey, listen. Teenage boy's realizing he's struggling with internet, porn on the thing. So he leaves his phone in the bedroom, in the living room, and he goes to bed. You don't need to make a big deal of it. Hey, you left your phone out here. Don't you want this? Don't make a big deal of it. It could be that he listened to pastors preaching at Gad and he's trying to get victory over something. You don't need to make a big deal of it. Don't you need this? He doesn't want to come to you, Mom, and say, I just need to let you know that I have an internet porn problem. He doesn't want to tell you that. He doesn't want to have that conversation with you. And can you really blame him? Just let him get personal victory through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and get over it.
Right.
But please don't deliver the very mechanism to him that he's struggling with. Here's your iPod, here's your laptop, here's your cell phone. Pick whichever one you want. And if you like, I'll put a flat screen television into your bedroom too. And oh, by the way, here, Greg, take this back. Sinful thing. So, hey, you know that Sony PS3?
Yes.
You know what it has? Internet connectivity. Do you know you can surf the net on that?
Yes.
No, not my boy. He's just gaming. That's what you think.
Yeah.
That's what you think. Help him get the victory. I'll talk about that in just a minute. Come on, turn. Next slide. Come on, what's this thing locked up for? It needs to work. Next slide, David. I think the batteries are dead. Do it again, please. Who's got some batteries? Build walls. What are walls all about? Why do we build walls? Tell me why we build walls. Yeah, to keep things out. That's why we build fences. That's why we install security systems, barriers, to keep something out. So I'm going to talk to you about some walls. Guard against opposite sex marital relationships. Guard against them. You work with other females. I got it. You don't have to go out to lunch together. You don't have to talk about your marriage with her. You don't have to get intimate with her. You don't need to find out how you doing today. You sure look cute in that thing. Those words never come out of your mouth.
That's right.
Never. Those words don't come out of your mouth. You're never, ever, ever, ever going to find me going out to dinner with another female or lunch unless it's my wife. That's it. You're not going to walk into Chick-fil-A and find me sitting there having a private little intimate conversation with somebody other than my wife. I'm not going to be in the same car. Why? I'm going to have some walls. Some walls. Walls. Next slide, please. Two opposite sex signals should not be in an apartment together. All right, let me give a little caveats to this, okay? Because I know here we are with these rules and nobody likes the rules. All right, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you're getting ready to bring dinner over. People, mom and dad are coming over. Their parents are coming over. We're going to have dinner together in our apartment, his apartment, her apartment. And she's coming over to help you set the table and get ready at 4 o'clock. Okay, I got that. Okay, that's reasonable. 60 minutes later, everyone's going to correct. Probably not going to get naked and get intimate knowing that everyone's showing up at the house in 30 minutes. 11 o'clock at night, watching a romance on Netflix on the couch. You know what that is? That's a recipe for disaster. That's a recipe for disaster. You know what we're doing? We're building walls. Rules. Okay? You can come over to the house, but you got to leave by 7. Oh, that's so legalistic. No, I actually want to maintain my purity until we get married.
That's right.
I want to maintain my purity until we get married. Say again? Okay, all right, I'll be patient, John. Thank you for reminding me of that. Patient, 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 patient. Okay. Look at the phone. Hey, newsflash. If there is no history. Okay. No history? Huh. See, in the last 48 hours, you haven't looked at one single website. You know what we are? We're clueless. Okay, that's a term of endearment. I'm trying to say that in a nice way. Well, I could never do that. Well, who's paying for the phone? Who's paying for it? I thought you paid for it. Just take it. Just take it. Another one. Oh, I'm being patient. Phone bill. Do you know as parents, you can get an itemized list and know how many times they're texting and what time they're texting? You know, your kid has no business texting at 1 a.m. None. They're not saying anything at 1 a.m. that needs to be said. Okay? You're going to take it again from me, brother? All right, just take it. Next slide. Next slide. All boyfriends. All boyfriends. Every one of them. None of them don't have a sin nature. Sin nature, sex drive. That's a recipe for disaster. You know what you need? You need a wall. Next slide. Parents, be a blessing to your kids. Unplug the Wi-Fi. Well, what are you talking about? All right, here, I'm being real practical today. When Austin was in the house, we tried to do all that wall stuff, you know, that digital wall stuff. All right, my kid is smarter than me. He just walked around every wall that we created. Let me tell you a wall he could not create: electricity. Yep. Nope, couldn't figure that one out. What are you talking about? I went to the router in the bedroom, and it's got this black cord comes out, and there are two prongs on the router. I went like that with my hand. Pull! You know what happens? No Wi-Fi in the house. Now, why is this so important? Please don't check out right now. When you take away the free Wi-Fi, it now forces them to use their data plan to watch the porn. And their data plan is not very much. So even if they do it that night, they're going to run out of data really quick. But what you have to be, parents, is consistent. What's a reasonable time to lose Wi-Fi? 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock? Then unplug it. When can they get Wi-Fi back? The next morning. I need it. Get whatever you need for Wi-Fi done, because 11 o'clock, it's going off. See where I'm going with that, Mom and Dad? You don't know my kid. No, see, that's the whole problem, parents. You think you've got the one kid that doesn't battle with this. Every man in school that he or she goes with, every child, every student, they're all talking about this. Number five, recognize victory is possible. You can get the victory. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You don't have to be a male pig. You don't have to look at every woman with lust. You can recognize a person as a sister in Christ. Every single person that you encounter doesn't have to be a case for sex. Okay? You can get the victory. It is possible. Paul says, such were some of you. You were adulterers. You were idolaters. But you know what happened? You got saved. And when you got saved, you got the victory. Number six, recognize that success or victory is seldom ever achieved without making, number one, a commitment. Where do I get this from? I get it from Job 31. You know what Job said? I have made a covenant with my what? My eyes. My eyes. Do you know, man, it is possible to drive down Rafer Road and not break your neck on the plastic surgery digital signs. You know what you can do? Just keep driving. Just keep driving. Jesus said, if a man looks at a woman with lust, he's already committed adultery in his heart. You know what he's saying there? The victory starts here. This is where it starts, with what I look at and what I think. In formation in Fort Bragg, running down there. You don't need to break your neck to turn around to see her in the little Ranger panties. Just keep your head and eyes forward. Just keep your head and eyes forward. Get the victory. Number seven, we're almost done. I'm going to get you out in time. Brandon Dubois told me that the clock was off, and I actually got two more minutes than I thought. Yep. So thanks to him, I'm preaching longer, okay? Number seven, victory over sexual morality is a matter of self-discipline. You don't have to click on that picture. You can ignore that picture on the side of your webpage. Your hand does not have to move the mouse over there and your index finger click that. You can ignore it. Paul said, I discipline my body and keep it under control. Do you discipline your body and keep it under control? Hey, you know what a trip to the beach looks like for me? Let me show it to you. I'm sitting in my chair, and I got my book like this. You know why? Because who's parading in front of me? All these Christian men that let their daughters walk around in bikinis. You know what a bikini is? It's panties with a little thicker cloth. Well, explain to me what the difference is. You make the fabric a little denser and a little thicker. You say, it's fine. Oh, you look cute. Hey, dads, your 16-year-old might look cute to you, but she looks hot to every 17-year-old. If you say that you love your neighbor as yourself, you don't let her out of the house like that. Well, they're just going swimming. Is that why she made four laps around the pool before she got in the water? Oh, I know. Nobody wants to have an application like this. Stick to theology. Now, how about this? They've got these things They're called towels. Wrap yourself around them, walk over to the pool, slip in, enjoy the water, come out, wrap the towel back around you. Why? Because I care about my brothers in Christ. And by the way, it's not just the women. You don't need Speedos, guys. Okay? You don't need Speedos. Put some shorts on, some modest shorts. Okay? I'm almost done. I'm going to get there. And number 8, get married, stay married, and do the married thing. That's a giant source of solution. Someone used to say, take care of your man. Yeah, that's good stuff right there. That's old-fashioned. No, actually, some old-fashioned stuff is good stuff. Good stuff. Where do I get this from? I get it from Paul, who said, and because of the temptation of sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. Let me tell you what kind of engagements I believe in. Short ones. It don't take 5 years to plan a wedding. Okay? It's a recipe for disaster. Once you've figured out that she's the one you want to marry, and once he's figured out that she's the one you want to get married, get married. Get married. You don't need 14 months to plan a wedding. Weep, and you don't need a bachelor's party. Amen, Greg. It doesn't take 14 months to get ready for a wedding. We put more energy into getting ready for the wedding than preparing for the marriage. That's how backwards we are. So I gave you 8 points to a path for purity. Why? Why am I giving this to you? Because our Christian testimony in the city of Fayetteville is directly tied to our victory over sexual immorality. That's why. We want to be a different church? Cut out the immorality and we'll be a different church. That's a church that takes marriage serious. That's a church that takes the Word of God serious. You want to learn about the gospel? Go there. Let's pray. We're not going to have an invitation. I went long. Just sit still and think. Is there any area in my life where I need to work? Mom and dad, how can you help your teenage boy? I'm not talking about grilling him right now. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about grilling him. I'm not talking about becoming a Nazi when it comes to this right now, making him hate you. No, I'm not talking about that. But I am talking about being proactive. Don't overreact when he shares that he has a problem with you. Instead, figure out how you're going to help. Punishing him may not be the solution. You understand that God created your teenage boy like this. So figure out how you're going to help him with the victory. Moms, it doesn't mean that he's not saved, but he does need some guidance. He does need some help. You can be help. You have no idea what your 12-year-old's being exposed to at school. You have no idea what they're seeing on the playground, what they're seeing in the locker room. The pressure on a girl to get accepted by a boy. Dad, stand up and do your job. Take them on dates. Be there for them. They don't need a boyfriend at 12. God Almighty, help us to be different in this church. In Jesus' name, amen.